Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the M&M Hockey Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Alex Metzger. Alongside me is my co-host, Chase McCallum. We just finished recording the RFA podcast that hopefully went out a couple days ago if I actually got my ass around to doing it. This one is probably going to be coming out on the Monday, I would assume. So we're recording this on Friday at noon. If any news breaks about this division or anything else after that, it will not be on this podcast because we recorded last week and the Mitch Marner news broke not even 12 hours later, of course.
Right after I penciled in Marner to not start the season for the Leafs.
Yep. Today we are going to be looking at the Central Division in our first Western preview. As always, we will be breaking it up into three tiers. Not making the playoffs, looking for a wild card, and probably top three / competing in the playoffs. So we'll start from the bottom. This is the first division, I believe. Yeah, first division. We have only had one team in the bottom tier of not making the playoffs. I have the Chicago Blackhawks down there. I believe Chase does too.
I completely agree.
I don't think this is a super hot take. I think that Chicago is very much in limbo of not having enough depth, and also their star players just aren't what they were a couple years ago. And I mean, I think to Jonathan Toews' credit, he has been underrated the past year or two because he has been very good.
Yeah, he has been, actually. You know, it looked like he might have fallen off.
He had a rough year a couple years ago, and then he really bounced back. But, I mean, if you look at the rest of this roster, I mean, they really just tried to bring the band back together, and it just hasn't worked.
But the band is old.
Yeah, yes. And so I think what you're looking for this year, I mean, Robin Leonard may be an X factor in net, but It'll be an interesting case to see if it's Robin Leonard who was carrying the team, or, you know, if Trotz's coaching system really helped, or a bit of both. I think that no matter who plays behind this defense core, their goalie's going to be pretty screwed.
That was the thing. Like, they were so porous defensively last year. Even if Leonard posts, like, a solid goal saved above average, his save percentage is still probably going to suck.
Yeah. They have Leonard and Crawford in net, and I just, you know, you look at the defense core, Duncan Keith, Eric Gustafson, not a bad first pairing. He's nowhere near what he was, though. He's number two D-man probably at this point.
If that.
Yeah, I mean, he really struggled last year. So if you're counting on him maybe to bounce back a little bit, you could call him a number two.
Well, 2 years ago, he was, like impressively bad. Last year, he was, like, at least an NHL player or whatnot.
Right.
But, like, I don't know if you think 35-year-old Duncan Keith's going to keep going up.
No, I wouldn't bet on it. Yeah. But and then you have Olli Maatta and Brent Seabrook as your second pair. Have fun.
Yeah, good luck with that.
And then Calvin DeHaan. I feel like Calvin DeHaan has to move up to the second pair, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked if he's playing in the top four by the end of that season.
And then and Connor Murphy. Not good.
No, not good at all.
Probably one of the worst, I would say.
Yeah, they don't have a good defense core at all.
No. And, I mean, amazingly, it might not be in the worst in this division if we'll get to a team later, but it might not be the worst in this division if something goes wrong for another team. The problem is they also don't have the depth scoring up front to kind of counteract that. I mean, they got their first line of, I would assume Toews and Kane won't be playing together.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if they do.
I'm assuming it'll be Toews, Perlini, and Drake Caggiula. Not a great first line. Second line, DeBrincat, Strome, Patrick Kane. I think that's a lot better. I mean, we've both talked about Patrick Kane on this podcast. He's kind of the definition of empty points, especially at 5v5. But that being said, I mean, he obviously provides benefit on the power play too. So
yeah, he's not in like the Phil Kessel tier of players, but I do think it's fair to say he's overrated.
He's getting he was getting votes for
probably the Hart.
The Hart, yeah, sorry. For some reason, I thought I was switching Hart and Vezina up. He was getting votes for the Hart last year. It's like, he was nowhere near that good. Like,
God, no.
I don't know. Like, and then after that, you have Andrew Shaw on the third line.
Shaw's good enough.
Yeah, I like Shaw, but I mean, it's not going not even Andrew Shaw. Brandon Saad is who I was thinking of.
Saad will probably win Toews, but
and then Shaw, I guess Shaw, the daily faceoff has Shaw as the fourth line center. He's got to be a third liner, I would assume.
I would expect to.
But, and then David Camp, Ryan Carpenter, Zach Smith. That's just not good depth.
No.
So I don't think there's much to talk about on this team.
No, like, I think everybody's pretty much in agreement that they're not what they used to be. They're pretty.
Where do you have this team finishing in the standings?
Oh, God. Like, league-wide, I don't think they're going to be, like, the Senators, Red Wings, Kings tier, but, like, I have them right in that, like, Oilers,
Vancouver,
Ducks, yeah,
Buffalo, Islanders, Columbus.
Yeah, in that next kind of tier where it's, like...
They could be, like, 26 to, like, 20th, and it wouldn't really be that big of a surprise, I think.
Yeah, like...
Or 22nd, maybe.
Fourth last. Like, I think there's a distinct... three worst teams in the league going into the year.
Yeah, me too.
So I would have them like fourth last to like 10th last in anything. That would be the range of outcomes that...
Yeah, somewhere around there. And I just... Like, if I try and do what has to go right to make the playoffs, Leonard has to be amazing. Kane and Taves have to be like cup-winning Kane and Taves. And Keith has to be like even somewhat close to cup-winning Duncan Keith, I think.
Yeah, Boquist coming up and being as good as Erik Karlsson would probably to put them in that conversation. But
yeah, Boquist should be a bit of an... obviously could be an addition.
They sent him down already, though.
Did they?
Yeah.
Man, I didn't even see. I saw that he dangled someone the other night, but yeah, I didn't even see.
They just sent him down.
And then they have... Who'd they pick? Was it Doc?
I believe so.
Yeah, I don't think he'll start with the team this year. I feel like he'll be in the minors for, Kirby Doc.
I don't think they're going to be good enough to justify starting him on the team either.
I forgot they had Alex Nylander on this team.
Oh, yeah. Him being as good as his brother this year and Boquist being as good as fellow Swede Erik Karlsson would be nice touches to get this team into the playoffs, but
yeah,
neither of those two things are going to happen.
Yeah, I really just don't like where this team has gone. I think it's been completely mismanaged the past couple of years. I think any Hawks fan will tell you that, too.
Yep.
I don't think there's any secret. I think maybe that they're still a little more optimistic the core can do more, but I don't think that they're expecting a cup run or anything like that anytime soon.
They should not be.
But, I mean, they have three already.
Sure.
So you can't complain.
No, you can't complain about them being bad, but no. They should be bad.
Yes. Let's go to the next tier. I'm going to put... There's three teams in here. I'm going to put... I'll talk about one, assuming that not everything goes wrong for the other to start. I have Minnesota as six right now.
Okay. I have Minnesota as five, assuming that some stuff is going to go wrong.
Yes. I have Minnesota as six right now, but I could also see them being five. I think that this team has been a very rightfully laughing stock of the offseason, or, past couple months of just everything that they've done, and what their old GM went through, and just some of the quotes he had. That being said, this team is still fine. They're kind of stuck in that limbo where it's like they're nowhere near good enough to be a cup team, but they're also not bad enough to be, like, look really bad.
Yeah, like...
I mean, and their coach is still, like, Bruce Boudreau.
Yeah, I think, like, they should have a shot at the playoffs. They're a good enough roster. And they had, like, one of, if not the biggest gap between, like, their expected goals for percentage and actual goals for percentage last year. So it's not even like they needed to get substantially better, aside from puck luck, for them to get back in the conversation. They signed Zuccarello. That should help, too.
What do you think of the Jared Spurgeon extension?
My first thought was, oh my god, that's amazing. And then I looked at how old he was.
Yep.
And kind of cringed.
He's already 29. He doesn't turn 30 until it kicks in.
I was going to say, it doesn't even...
Yeah, it doesn't kick in for another... Like, it's... I don't know. So, for anyone who didn't know, 7.57 on a 7-year deal for Jared Spurgeon. It'll carry him till he's 37.
Yeah, it seemed like one of those... Jared Spurgeon is worth more money than this now, so I'm going to sign it and know that it's probably not me dealing with years 5, 6, and 7.
Yeah, and I guess fair enough for the GM.
Jared Spurgeon's an elite defenseman. You're better to have him than not.
Yeah.
Even at 7.75 problem for the next few years.
I don't really see this team doing anything while you have him.
No.
So I guess my question is, do you think they would have been better off to trade him, get a bunch of assets back, and try and rebuild?
Probably.
I think that probably would have been the better call, too.
Yes.
I think, this team doesn't want to rebuild. This team is in such a shitty spot.
Yeah, they must just really love, like, seventh place.
Yeah, but, like, because the problem is they can't rebuild, or they probably can, but it's hard to rebuild with Sutter and Parise's contracts on your book.
Yeah, entering, like, a 6-year rebuild would be a little tough.
Yeah, so, you just didn't need to go out and sign Matt Zuccarello. It's just like that kind of stuff where it still symbols that they, or like shows that they still want to be a competing team. I just don't agree with it at all. I don't think that's what they should be going for. I don't think it's good logic.
Yeah, like they're in that weird spot where like they have a really good shot at the playoffs this year, but also like, if you're trying to take over a team, they're one of the bottom few teams.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, they have some young pieces, but like,
not many young pieces.
And not like blue chip prospects.
Unless Kaprizov decides he wants to play in the NHL, they don't really have.
Jordan Greenway is someone who should, I would assume, is going to at least take a shot at the team this year.
I would think so. He should.
I forgot they have Fedor Gordiev.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, yeah, they traded the seventh for him because Dubas loves seventh.
Not that that will make any kind of a difference. No. Don't. No, but yeah, no, I just I don't know. Like, this team is, they're not great. Like,
no.
They could make the playoffs if, you know, like, it's not that wild, I think.
No.
But I also don't like Devin Dubnyk. I think maybe stats underrate him a little bit, but his save percentage is overrated because of how good his team is.
Boudreau makes Dubnyk look way better than he actually is.
Yeah, so like,
and that decor.
I don't know, like, if this team does sneak in the playoffs, it feels like a team that's just going to get blown out round one.
Yeah, like, I don't see them as a cup threat. No. I see them as a seventh.
What they've been for literally the past decade. Yep. Where they just sneak in and then maybe upset a team and then just get swept by Chicago in the second round.
Like, yeah, except this year it'll be like St. Louis or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, so I don't know. Whatever, I guess, is my kind of opinion on this team. I think they should have tried to rebuild, but for this one year, I think they'll be fine enough. Just kind of the most boring hockey you'll see.
They'll probably be between like 7th and 10th.
Yeah.
And they'll have like some of the lowest pace games in the league.
The usual.
Yeah, exactly. They'll be all right.
I don't want to talk about them anymore. It's putting me to sleep. Let's go to the other team that, you know, there's been a lot of news out of there. The Winnipeg Jets. So it came out the other day that, you know, Dustin Byfuglien, they were giving him some personal leave. Everyone's like, oh, what's happening? What's happening? Like, no, it's nothing family related. Then a few days later, it comes out he's debating retiring. He's not sure he wants to be here. He's not sure he wants to play. This is crazy.
This might suck for Winnipeg.
Yeah, and like, this news is just kind of out of just out of nowhere. He never really seemed to be a type of guy who hated what he was doing. Like, he always seemed to be like smiles and everything like that. And so, just from a personal standpoint, this is crazy.
Yeah, maybe it's because I don't follow the situation closely enough, but it seemed out of nowhere. He has been banged up more recently.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously when this kind of stuff comes out, you just hope it's not mental health stuff, but I mean, their GM, Chevedayoff, came out and said, no, like, he's completely healthy, he's completely fine. So I think if he was, you know, I don't think he would say that if he was battling with, you know, mental health stuff. So I hope, you know, you hope for the best and that it's just he's not sure if he wants to play hockey, which, fair enough. I mean, that's his choice and, you know, you got to respect that.
He's made a lot of money thus far and given the NHL probably, like, his entire life, basically. So if he wants to walk away, you do have to respect that. But, that would suck for Winnipeg.
Yep, and so I guess they signed Josh Morrissey to a long-term deal that doesn't kick in for another year, but I really liked it.
That was a great deal.
$6.25 million for eight years? I think that's reasonable. So if Byfuglien walks, here's the defense core. Gulikov, Morrissey, Neil Pionk, Nathan Beaulieu, Sammy Niku, Tucker Poolman. You need Sammy Niku to come up and just be like a top pair defenseman if this team wants to be good. Really good. Because I don't think Neil Pionk is good.
Or noted big body Logan Stanley.
Yeah, which I think, like, at this point, I think you can already call him a bust. He hasn't even been close to making the team.
No, he doesn't look like he's someone who's going to be the savior on Winnipeg's decor.
So, like, yeah, like, this team is in big, big trouble, especially if Connor and Laine aren't starting the year. And I don't know where that's going to go or not, but if they're not starting the year, this team might not make playoffs.
I think Dom had them projected outside the playoffs, even with Byfuglien, and assuming they play.
Yeah, like they need Hellebuck to be what he was 2 years ago, I guess, too.
Yes, very much so.
Yeah, like, this team is, for a team that was so promising literally 2 seasons ago, it's crazy how much this has changed.
They would also, it would be very nice if, this isn't how aging works, but Blake Wheeler turned 29 again.
Yeah.
And started to play at the Hart Trophy level he used to play at.
But, and now they're in contract trouble. I mean, they have $15 million to get Laine and Connor. I mean, they should be able to get that done. But at the same time, this is kind of where you wish you didn't have Brian Little on the books.
Yep.
This is where you maybe even wish you didn't have Blake Wheeler on the books.
Or Kulikov.
Yeah.
That would be a big one for me. Or Neil Poink.
But at least, like, those guys are one or two years. Like,
true.
Little has five more years, and same with Wheeler.
Yeah, and Line A is definitely not happy about that.
No, and so, yeah, and, like, we get to that. Like, Line A made comments in the media about how he wants to be playing with the best players on the top line. Any other team he would be, and...
I don't think that's true.
No, I...
Line A was really, really bad last year.
Yeah, I mean, and Little handled it very well. He came out yesterday and he said, you know, I text him right away. I know that's not what he meant. Like, you know, everyone wants to be playing with the top line. And I think he took a shot at Line A at the end, too. He said, you know, our top two guys are Shifley and Wheeler. And I'd want to be playing with them, too. And, you know, so he's like, you know, it kind of was like, hey, you're not a top line player either there, Line A. But, yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't think it's true. I think that I'm not going to get mad at being a guy being outspoken. I think we beg for that in the NHL, so I'm not going to get mad at a guy doing it. I think that he probably overrates himself a little bit, but I'd rather that than a guy, oh, you know, it's a team game. It's a team game. You know, Bucks and Deep, it's a team game.
As someone in the locker room, though, I would rather have him be like, yeah, I struggled last year than be like, you guys. I was stuck with Brian Little.
I would be pissed if I was Brian Little. That quote came out where it's like, I don't want to be playing with the not as good players. Like, I would be so angry if that came out. And so that is definitely fair to say. You know, as a fan, I love it. Well, I'm never not a fan of Winnipeg, but as a fan of just the NHL, I love this. As a
fan of personality. Yes. Talk, yeah.
But yeah, I would definitely understand why Brian Little would be pissed off about that. Or, you know, even like Nikolai Ehlers or whatever.
Literally,
like,
anybody other than Shifley and Wheeler.
Yeah, so like...
And even Shifley and Wheeler wear the CNA, so they should still be pissed at the rift that would cause. Yeah,
and it sounds like there's a locker room divide. I mean, I don't know. Like, would it shock you if Line A's not in Winnipeg within 2 years?
Not after that, no.
I would say not at all.
Also, he seems like the type of guy that, like, he's so hard to value, there is almost certainly another team in the league that values him more than you do.
Oh, yeah.
Which is the perfect scenario to...
Well, yeah, but...
For a trade.
Yeah, but it's the problem is, like... So, let's say you give him a... Like, because he's got such goal-scoring ability that he could literally just pot 50 next year, and it would be nothing.
But if he's like a 44% Corsi guy, you can probably,
yeah,
like, win a trade, even though you're giving up like a 40 goal scorer.
Yeah, maybe. But I also think if he's a 44% Corsi guy, you're not using him effectively enough because you need to find better teammates than that.
Or he's just really, really bad at driving play.
Yeah, but like, it kind of reminds me of like the Ovechkin situation where like he's not a great play driver.
But the problem is he reminds me of Ovi after like age 26.
Yeah.
Like, Ovi was a ridiculous...
Yeah, like, I don't think anyone's saying that he's going to be Ovi where he's leading the league in goals every single year, for sure.
But even, like, Ovi had alright defensive numbers for a while and, like, obscene offensive numbers. It wasn't until, like, he started to age a little bit that he became worse at play driving. Like, Line A is already worse at driving play than Ovi has ever been.
And I think if you ask anyone who watches Line A, it's like, sometimes he just doesn't care. Like, sometimes he's out there and it just looks like he doesn't care if the puck's in the back of his own net or not. And it's an issue.
That's a huge issue.
But, you know, I will say, if he's at 44% Corsi, I do honestly think you're playing him with the wrong people. You should be getting a play-driving center that can play along with him. But
this team itself has not been
controlling play. They need to fire their coach. Paul Maurice should have been gone 2 years ago, probably. I mean, you're not going to fire him after the playoff run, but, like, he should have been gone before that. I don't think Paul Maurice is that good of a coach.
I used to think he was, back when they were like...
Had good possession numbers, but no shooting talent?
Remember the good old days when they were in that Hurricanes tier of the team?
Yeah.
The nerds all picked a breakout every year and then didn't?
I don't know. I don't follow the team super close, but everyone who is a fan of the team has a lot of problems with what he does. And I think it's, you know, when you have this much damn talent on your roster and you can't even be like a 50% Corsi team, I do think there's probably questions that you need to answer as a coach.
Yo, 100%. And he's got his Matthew Perreault, seems like his Nino Niederreiter, like, is just play driving god that
doesn't
appreciate at all.
Yeah, so
but like, yeah, no, I think Line A is a hard enough player to value that.
Yeah, well, like, you have to do a bridge deal with him, right? Like, there's no way for both sides it makes sense.
Oh, if I'm Line A, I'm not signing a long term deal based on last year. God, no.
No, because you want, like, and for Winnipeg, like, maybe, but at the same time, let's say you sign him to...
You could take the risk if you're Winnipeg, but I would
Would you go 8x8 if you're Winnipeg?
Oh, that'd be ballsy. Probably not, but...
So, like, that's what I mean. Like, if you go 4 years, I think it's a little different. But, like, when I say long term, I mean, like, 6, 7, or 8 years at, like, if it's that term, it's going to have to be a bigger cap hit. It's not going to be $4 million for that long.
No, of course not. So, that'd be, like, yeah, I could just see the argument from the team's perspective to go long term with Line A, because you bet on that shooting upside and hope that the defensive play takes care of itself.
Or I see it more from the team perspective, but yeah. I also think it would be insanely risky.
Oh, this seems like, I bet you it's like a 1 year contract for like $6 million.
Yeah, one or maybe two years.
Yes, short term.
Yeah, one or two. It's not over two. I would be shocked if it is over two. Yeah, I don't know. For this year's scope, this team's in a lot of trouble, I think. If Bufflin decides he doesn't want to come back, this team is screwed. Like,
if Bufflin doesn't come back, they are the sixth. I would put them as the sixth best team in this division.
Yeah, I probably, unless Hellebuyck bounces back to where he was 2 years ago.
And Blake Wheeler turns 29.
Yep. And they have their two RFA signed within the first couple weeks of the season.
Yeah.
Because if these guys hold out for a little while, they're screwed. Like, this isn't a team that's going to be able to coast to the playoffs for a couple months.
No, especially because they don't control play very well. So what you have to do when you don't control play is either have fantastic goaltending or elite shooting. Kyle Connor and Patrick Laine are part of the reason why the Jets were able to get away with not controlling play last year.
Yep. So, yeah, I don't know. This is, it's going to be an interesting thing to watch Winnipeg for a couple weeks. It's so funny that Toronto was the center of spotlight, and as soon as they stop, Winnipeg's like, all right, it's our turn now with the storylines.
It's funny that we're like 2 years removed from Winnipeg being...
They were, like, last year, they were a lot of people's favorite for Canada Cup favorites.
Yeah.
Like, even like last year, like, I think if I was looking at, my site's cup predictions, and like so many people had Winnipeg in the finals. Winnipeg or Nashville were the two teams, because 2 years ago that was the series.
I think their drop back was a little easier to see coming than that, because their possession numbers did crater before last year.
Yeah,
and last year was just an extension of it, but yeah, they were still like
they were that young up and up that finally made the Stanley Cup finals, and then you know, when they still had a bunch of young guys who were going to take another step forward with like awesome decor and everything like that. And it's just all falling apart. I'm just going to look now. Okay, hold on. So there is 28 people who voted. 13 people of the 28 had Winnipeg in the finals. 5, 6 had them winning.
What a fall off. That's
just
a cliff.
I'm about to do the predictions again today or tomorrow, but I can guarantee you it's not going to be any. I don't even know if one team has them in the finals.
No, I bet you nobody has them in the finals.
For the record, I had Tampa Bay beating St. Louis.
Oh, actually?
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Only one person, Mr. Gabriel Foley, had St. Louis beating Toronto as the cup final.
I forgot we were high on St. Louis last year. Yeah. And then they came out and sucked.
Yeah, and then we're like, wow, this sucks. And then they got bad. I was like, okay, yeah, we're still looking all right. This team is just, it's crazy to see how much this team has fallen from grace.
Like they were in that Toronto tier. Like
literally, like even... Yeah, like last year, I think people would have said that Winnipeg had a better shot to win the cup than Toronto. And some of that was division. Toronto had to go through Boston, Tampa, obviously. But a lot of people just also believe that they had a better team than Toronto. And again, that's up to debate, even last year. I don't care. I don't want to get into that debate. No. But it was at least fair enough to see why you could like think that.
Yeah, and now they're just...
A very obviously... Where would you put them in the rank of Canadian teams? I would put them... I would put them fourth, I think.
Who's one? Probably
Toronto. Calgary. I would say Toronto's one. Yeah. I'm not going by points. I'm going by actual skill of team.
Oh, then Toronto.
Calgary, Montreal, Winnipeg for me. And I think you can maybe reverse Montreal and Winnipeg.
Yeah.
But if Bufflin doesn't come back, I...
In terms of just skill, Winnipeg by like a lot over Montreal, but I bet you Montreal gets better results.
Yeah. Yeah, like that's what I mean. Yeah, like a better team. I don't mean by points, but I mean like going into the playoffs, who would you... Or like to get to the playoffs and then... do something in the playoffs, who would you put as the better team? And I don't know, it's close.
Yeah,
but like even the fact that it's close, I think, is my point. That they are definitely easily the third best team, maybe worse.
Yeah, that's poor Winnipeg.
Yeah. I mean, and it sucks for the fans too. They went for like a 10-year rebuild, and like some of that was in Atlanta too, just to get one Western Conference final and then absolutely blow apart.
Yep.
And I mean, there is time to salvage this, but you need to find defensemen soon, and you need to hope Pufflin doesn't retire.
Yeah, this is a terrible place to be in, but like they basically, if Pufflin's gone, they need to just win a trade, which is not something you should ever bet on.
No.
Like,
yeah, they would definitely need to find some guys and hope that Sammy Niku becomes unreal. Because that's their only hope to fix the decor.
Yeah.
Even with Pufflin here, you need Sammy Niku to be unreal. So you have a top three.
Yes.
Because like this team, let's say this team, Pufflin plays, they get Kyle, Connor and Laine in at whatever price. And everything else is the same last year and they sneak into the 8th place wild card. They're not winning a round.
No, like they're not a scary team.
No.
Which is sad to say.
They're not winning a round. If it's like what it was last year, like I think we both had them out in the first round, and I mean that was a bit of a surprise to people, I think, as well. But yes. Still, like if they have to go against St. Louis, Colorado, Nashville, or on the other side, LA or Vegas. Or not LA.
San Jose
or Vegas, sorry. They're not winning.
No, probably not.
Like, unless they make some massive changes during the year, but like with this roster, I don't think so.
No.
So
not.
I don't know. Have fun with that. I don't. This team could be a wild card team if they get their guys back. But
yeah, there's enough talent on the roster. They could make a coaching change, and all of a sudden things look a lot better.
But like
crazier things have happened. But
okay, let's say now let's go the opposite way. Pufflin doesn't come back. You can't get a deal done with Connor. You can't get a deal done with Laine for a month. They miss the first month, and Hellebuck is not good. How far down in the standings does this team finish?
They could finish. I would have them sixth in this division then. And again, back into that tier with like the Coyotes and stuff like that.
Yeah, like.
Like, that's not a good place to be in when you're supposed to be a young team on the up and up.
Yeah,
Like, suddenly they're in that Coyotes
like, and sixth like, last. Like, I could see this
Canucks
team.
Canucks tier, I guess.
If Hellebuck doesn't take improve from last year and Pufflin retires, especially if you can't get those RFAs signed, I could see this team being, like, seventh last.
They might have the worst decor in the league if Pufflin retires.
Yeah, like, that's so that's when we got to the Minnesota thing. It's like, or sorry, the Chicago thing. It's like, if Pufflin retires, whose decor are you taking? I might still take Winnipeg's just because of Joshua Morrissey.
Yeah.
Because I think he is easily better than every defender that Chicago has.
I would think so. But, like, I like Gustafson and DeHaan, which isn't that much to write home about either. But like,
no, but
they have.
I guess you have the upside of Niku on this defense core.
Yeah, like, it's still, Winnipeg's is still probably better.
But like, Kulikov and Pionk, I don't like Pionk at all. I don't think he's good.
Yeah, well, like, I dock Chicago so much for having Seabrook in their top four, but I'm not sure Neil Poink is.
Well, even like Kulikov hasn't been good either.
No, he was never good. I had him as below replacement level like multiple times in the past. I don't see a reason why that's going to change.
No, I don't. Maybe I would take Winnipeg's, but not by a lot. I don't think
it's not a conversation you want to be in. No, if you're trying to be a cup contender.
No, not at all. Let's get on to the Dallas Stars, the last team in this bracket of teams that could make the playoffs. Do you think they overreached last year by making the playoffs, we'll start with?
No.
No? How about second round, one goal away from the conference finals?
Yes. I think any team that has goaltending as ridiculously good as they did last year is probably going to outperform their true talent level.
Yeah.
Which is what they did, in my opinion.
I did like their offseason. I think Corey Perry was a smart bet. I think Andre Sequeira is a smart bet. They're cheap. You know, maybe they're a fourth liner and a third pair, but you gave up nothing to get them.
Yeah, it was fine bets. I like Pavelski should make the team.
Joe Pavelski was a huge pickup.
Because they had no depth. Pavelski adding Pavelski to that top six could give them two lines.
Yeah, and so, I don't know. Like, I think this team could easily be, I think this is, out of the three teams, especially if things go wrong in Winnipeg, this is maybe my most likely to make a wild card.
Yeah, I have Colorado, like, right with them, but slightly ahead of them.
Yeah, so like, we'll get into Colorado in a second. We have them in the top three just so we had a top three, but I was debating putting Colorado still in this tier as well.
I think Dallas and Colorado are kind of in their own tier where, like, they're within error bars of each other for three in this division.
Yeah, so you could kind of put them, we can make a fourth tier if we wanted. I don't think the gap is that big, so like, I would be I'd be probably pretty surprised if this team didn't make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Unless Bishop goes back to what he was a couple years ago.
True.
But, he doesn't even need to be the best goalie in the league. If he's just, the 15th best goalie, I think this team probably makes playoffs.
Yeah, as long as he's average, this team should be average-ish.
Especially with the division. The Pacific isn't good. Edmonton, I don't think, is going to make... I mean, I won't get too into it, but, there's... you have your top three teams in the Pacific, but then after that, it's, one team, I think, that is better, or even remotely comparable to maybe knocking them off. I don't see the Pacific sending two wildcard teams.
No, and even... Not even just division. I want to play in the West right now.
Yeah.
If I'm trying to contend for a cup.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you have... I mean, again, we'll get into this next week, but the Knights are still very, very good.
I think for odds-on favorites, three of the four top teams come from the Atlantic, and the next one is Vegas.
Yeah, and then... I mean, St. Louis is... I think people are undercutting what St. Louis might be this year. I mean, they're bringing back the exact same team, pretty much.
They'll be good.
But, yeah, and then other than that, Winnipeg, we've already talked about. Nashville is... They've got some problems of their own, but they're still a very good team.
They're still Nashville.
And then you have Calgary, who's got some stuff to figure out on their own, too. But
yeah, I don't think Dallas is going to blow anyone away.
San Jose, I guess, as well. But San Jose, they're...
They got worse.
And they're still just kind of at the edge of, trying to compete. So, yeah, I definitely would agree with the West. But, yeah, for Dallas, I don't know. I would be... This is definitely... I would be a little surprised, I think, if they didn't make the playoffs, given the division.
Yeah, they kind of remind me of, Philly West.
Yeah.
But Philly West is good enough to make the playoffs in the West.
Yeah, because there's nowhere near as many teams up front as with a logjam. Because it's if this was the East, Dallas would be kind of clumped in with that huge Metro group we talked about, where it's there's so many teams that you need, and then there's also two more in the Atlantic. But here, it's
league average should get you into the playoffs here.
Yeah.
And I think that's more or
less league average could get you in the third spot in your division here.
Yeah.
And maybe not. I mean, we'll get to the other team next, but I like the team. I mean, obviously, if you Ben Sagan, Radulov line, that line was unreal.
I bet you one of them drops down and plays with Pavelski.
Probably. Then you have Rupa Hintz, Joe Pavelski. Who?
Denis Gurianov. He used to get good in Chell, and you could always sign him out of free agency.
Oh, man. Corey Perry, Radek Faxa, Jordan, Jason Dickinson.
I kind of like that fourth, third line.
Yeah, and then Cogliano, Matthias Janmark, Blake Komu. Yeah, whatever.
It's a fourth line. I don't like Cogliano a lot.
Yeah, actually. I do too. I think you're bouncing on him to, bounce back a little. Even, I don't mind Janmark at all.
No. You could do worse for a fourth line, for sure.
Degore, Lindell, Klingberg, Heiskanen. That's a good top three.
I hope it's...
Polak, though.
And then true.
Sakhar and Oleksiak.
Yeah, so they have two good defensemen.
Yeah, and Lindell's fine.
Yeah.
They overpaid him. We'll admit it. They overpaid him, but he's... In a one-year span, he's fine.
And yeah, he's not going to be...
You'll be the guy who can ride shotgun with Klingberg and be fine doing it, so...
Because Klingberg's a top 10 defenseman.
Yeah.
And then Heiskanen should be... take another step
forward. Yeah, you would assume so. I don't see why he wouldn't. Julius Honka has requested a trade out of town. He hasn't been happy with his playing time, which I wouldn't be happy if Roman Polak was playing over me either. Two spots over me, especially.
I really want Honka to get traded to the Hurricanes, just for...
Well, Hurricanes and Montreal are the two teams that are rumored so far, so...
Because everybody would start, being so happy if he went to the Hurricanes, and it would just start a shit show on Twitter.
Yeah.
About whether he's actually good or not.
Yeah. You know, I think this team is, they should be good, I think.
Yeah, they'll be fine.
I mean, in net, they got Bishop and Hudobin. Maybe not the most comfortable tandem.
They were, ridiculously good last year.
I know, they were insane, but, I don't know. If they can be average, that's all this team needs. I don't think that Bishop is going to be a top five goaltender again this year, but if they can just kind of do what they did last year, but, not as good, they'll still be fine.
You should absolutely not expect what they got last year.
No, not at all. But, if they can, just be fine, I think that'll be good enough for this team to make the playoffs.
Yeah, that's just the ultimate way to describe all of my feelings about this team. It's just fine.
Yeah, they're okay.
They're Philly West in that respect.
And again, maybe they could upset a team in the first round or something like that. But
yeah, then you're flipping slightly weighted coins, so anything's possible. But
Let's go to the team that's they're right with, Colorado Avalanche. I think we both love their offseason as well.
They're a way more exciting brand of fine.
Oh, yeah. They added legit depth scoring, which I think could go a little further than some people are betting on. This team is, okay, this team could either just be what they were last year, or, you know, maybe a little better than last year, or they could be extremely better if they get some big rookie improvements and the depth scoring actually provides depth scoring.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to be amazing, but I think they'll be way more fun than every other team that has as many points as they do.
Yeah, I wouldn't put them on, like, the cup contending list just yet, but, like this team's got to have the best or second best future in hockey, right? It's them or Toronto for me, and I think this team is so non-cap strapped so far that you could at least make an argument that they also just had the fourth overall pick in the draft. They have Connor Timmins and Cal McCarr coming up.
Yeah.
Like, this team is around there at least.
Yeah, as far as teams to take over to win a cup in 5 years, they're three to me behind Tampa and Toronto.
Yeah, and I mean, I think if you're taking, like, so we did last summer, we did the long-term future thing where it's like, you want this team for 8+ years, who would your team be? Right now, this team could be, like, second, or for, maybe even first. Like, I would make the argument for first. Like, at least there is an argument.
Especially if Cale Makar and Sam Girard look as good in the regular season this year as they did in the playoffs last year.
Yeah, so that'll be the big thing to me, I think, is can Makar be even, like, can he be a number two D-man throughout the whole year? Because if he can, I think this team's going to be dangerous.
And can Girard's actual results catch up to his, like, tracking stats?
Yeah.
Because if those do...
And someone's going to get the Tyson Barrie power play time, and that might be Makar.
It should be Makar, I would think.
And that sounds like that's exciting as well. Yeah, and then, like, they still got Connor Timmins, you know. He could be making his time up. They just drafted Bowen Byram. Like, this is going to be one of the best defense corps in a couple years.
Yeah, they have a lot.
Makar, Timmins, Byram, and Girard. Like, that is going to be a very, very good defense corps. You know, again, this year, like, I liked what they did. They went out and they saw, you know, so they have their big line, Rantanen and McKinnon, Landeskog. They still need Rantanen under contract. I'm sure that'll happen. Then they went and traded for Nazem Kadri, so they have a legitimate 1-2 punch down the middle. I love that.
That is a fantastic. Like, I don't think Toronto did terrible in this trade or whatever, but, like, I really did like Colorado going out and establishing a second line center.
Yeah, me
for
too.
For 3 more years.
Yeah. At a very, very reasonable price. And then, so now you have Tyson Yost. Jonas Donskoy is another pickup that I really liked.
I love that signing.
I think he's going to be able to blossom in a higher role than he got in San Jose. So that's a pretty, that's a fine second line. And then you have, they signed Valerie Nitushkin. Again, a low risk signing that, you know, it might not work, but.
It probably won't. He did, like, nothing last year, but.
But at the very least, like.
It's 850 grand.
Also, it's not worse than what they had on the third line last year.
No, their depth was so bad last year that it's not like these guys have high bars to clear.
No, and then JT Compher and Andre Burakovsky. Again, I don't think Burakovsky's amazing by any means. I think he's struggled the past couple years. But, like, if he can just be a step up from what they had a couple years ago, or from last year, that's all you need. That's all you're asking for.
Yeah, like, his rate stats are probably better than his true talent right now, but, like, say, he used to get played as if he was a replacement-level player in Washington. If he's a third-liner, that makes Colorado better than they were last year, because they didn't really have third-line scorers last year.
Exactly. And then Calvert, Wilson, Nieto right now is their daily fantasy fourth line.
That's fine.
Enough. Yep, exactly. This team, again, I would be... and that they have Grubauer. I'm excited to see what Grubauer can do for a full year as a starter.
Me too. I hope he does good.
Name their backup right now.
Pavel... Francouz?
Francouz?
Francouz, I don't know.
Ooh, yeah, so that's a little concerning.
I could see them being one of the teams that on cut day, they just
claim they claim Louis Domingue or something like that.
Yeah, Louis Domingue went down like 5 minutes ago. I can see them claiming.
Oh, sweet. Yeah, like that's someone I think they could probably put a claim in for. I think, yeah, this team, I would be pretty surprised if they don't make playoffs. I think they'll either be, they'll switch with Dallas maybe, either the third spot or the first wild card.
Yep.
And I just don't really see them being anything other than that. Like, I don't see them being top two in this division.
No, I don't think they're...
Unless, like, Makar just comes in and plays just unreal, I guess, and they're scoring depth. Like, I feel like they need a high PDO to
probably
be number top two in this division, or a really, really low one from one of the other two teams.
Yes.
But I don't know. Like, I think if you're a Colorado fan, you should be encouraged by that too.
Yeah, the future is bright. It's very bright.
It's very bright. And so, you know, like, this is one of those cases where it's like, if they get in the playoffs again, they could upset a round or two.
Yeah, they're one Herculean effort from Nathan MacKinnon away.
Yeah, and they actually have again. Depth to help them this year, too. So.
Yeah, it won't have to be just him.
No. I don't know. I like the team a lot. I think that the fans should be excited, and they should have a pretty good year.
Yeah, I think this is going to become one of, like, hockey Twitter's, like, teams.
Yeah, and yeah, especially going forward, you know, they have Bo and Byron for a year or two now. Like, this will be a team that...
It'll be fun to watch.
If they can keep adding to the forward depth, they could be a legitimate cup contender in a few years, right? You know, easily. In a year or two. So, let's move on to the top two then. Who do you have as number two?
Nashville.
Yeah, I don't really. I didn't put much thought into it. I just kind of wrote down my sheet. I'm fine with Nashville, though. It's weird. I want to get something. No. We'll wait. We'll do Nashville first.
What were you going to say?
We'll do Nashville first. It's going to come up in about 15 minutes, 10 minutes. This Nashville team, I think, do you think they got better or worse?
I think better.
I think better as well. I think that the loss of Subban with how he played last year probably won't hurt them as much as they think.
That's the thing, like, on a true talent level, losing Subban sucks, but, like, he was so bad last year that you don't need his replacement to be amazing to be good relative to what Subban was last year.
Yeah, and I do. So the Duchesne contract, I think, is going to be a clear overpayment within a couple years. I think Duchesne's overrated now. He'd be, like, the 30th best center around there. Like, he's kind of that, like, 27 to 35 gap or whatever for me. Maybe a little lower than that. Yeah, where it's, like, he's a very, very good second-line center.
Columbus was a sweet spot for him last year because, like, he's the exact kind of guy that can be a first-line center when Panarin's his winger.
Yeah.
Or Ottawa. Or he didn't play with Stone, but, like,
no,
that's but, the like, kind yeah. of winger you want him playing with if he's your 1C.
No, I don't hate their forward lineup as much. So right now it looks like they might switch Kyle Turris to the wing, which I don't think is the worst idea in the world.
They have a lot of centers.
Yeah. I mean, I do really want to see them play Kyle Turris at center so their centers can be Duchesne, Johansson, Turris, and Bonino, and they can overpay all four of them for where they're playing.
By, like, at least $1 million.
Yeah. That'd be kind of funny to me. But, no, like, you look at their forwards right now. Granlund left wing, Duchesne center, Forsberg right wing. It's not great, but, like, it's fine. Yep. They're really going by skill by depth approach, I think, here. Because,
and they're building from the wings.
Yeah, huge. Second line, Victor Arvidsson, Ryan Johansson, Kyle Turris. Again, I don't hate that at all. Especially, you know, I think that's a fine second line.
Yeah, it's good enough.
And then Tolvanen, this will be the X factor, I think, for this team this year.
If Tolvanen can step up, that
and
would be
like a legitimate, like, top line winger, even second line winger, and take Kyle Turris' spot. But Tolvanen, Sissons, and Grimaldi is right now is their third line. And then Watson, Bonino, Yankrook is their fourth line. I don't know, like, it's fine, it's good.
Yeah, they're probably gonna ask too much of Tolvanen.
Maybe. If he's playing on the third line, though, I don't think that's too much of him.
Yeah, that's fair.
If they're putting him up to the second or first line, being like, hey, we need you to produce, that's not good, but...
No.
Yeah, I don't know, like, Korsakov's their ratings is the 23rd best first line, 8th best second line, 12th best third line, and 5th best fourth line. So it likes their depth. Yeah. It doesn't like their top line, which is a bit of an issue, but...
Because hockey's a strong link game and everything, yes. But, like, they should still be a good regular season team.
I would assume so, too. And then on defense, you know, Ellis, Yossi, that's the number one D pair according to Korsakov. It's up at the top, you know, top three easily.
Yeah, two fantastic
defensemen. And then they have Dante Fabro and Matthias Ekholm. They just produce defensemen, man. Fabro could step in and, you know, maybe he definitely won't be what PK Subban was a couple years ago, but... If he's what Subban was last year, or like...
He will be better than what PK Subban was last year. I feel comfortable saying that.
Yeah, and then you have Dan Hamhuis and Steve Santini, so...
Santini, not a good
look. Not great,
he's
but...
He's Polak level on that third pair, but...
Hamhuis.
I like third pairing, Dan Hamhuis.
Yeah, I mean... I don't know, I feel like the third pair won't get much ice time.
No.
Especially not at 5v5, anyways. Like, maybe it's like the Polak situation where it's like you play with a lot of the penalty kill.
Yeah. You're doing something wrong if you have Yossi, Ellis, and Ekholm and your third pair is playing
a lot of minutes. More than like 5 minutes at 5v5, like, if I'm being honest. I mean, maybe it depends
on the regular season. Yeah. You don't want to kill those guys, but like. Yeah.
They also have Matt Irwin as well, who they could, and Yannick Weber.
Yeah.
So I would say probably one of those two deals is probably better than Santini.
Oh, God, yeah.
Or one of those two guys, so. Yeah,
both of them.
Yeah,
even Irwin on his offhand is probably better than Santini.
So yeah, if Santini gets rotated out for one of those two guys, I think it looks even better. So I mean, it's still one of the best defense cores in the league,
and a fantastic goalie duo.
Yep. Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see how they handle that this year. With Pekka Rinne and Juuse Saros, I really hope this is the year Saros takes the step forward as like a starter.
Me too. I hope he plays like 50 games. Yeah. I don't think he will, but
no, I don't think so either. But like, I don't know.
I hope he does. I like
Juuse even Saros if they go 40-40 and he takes the playoff starter.
That would be nice.
That is what I like. I just want him to be starting come playoff time. I hope that's where he can take the step forward. And starting because he earned it, not just because you have to start him or whatever,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
because
Rinne's hurt or something like that.
So, I don't know, but like, if I'm Nashville, I am very excited about this team because, especially in the West, I think this team has potential to go, like, are they that much worse than the Blues?
No.
No, I don't think so. I think that them and the Blues, if they have a series, it'll be pretty tight.
Yeah, and they have an extra second and third, so they could easily ball out at the deadline.
Yeah, exactly. I'm excited for this team. I think some people are sleeping on this team a little bit.
Yeah, like they're still Nashville.
Yeah, I mean, and their cap situation isn't great going forward. Picking up Duchesne probably didn't help that at all. But
not one bit.
That being said, for this year's scope, I think they are a very, very good team, and they should be. With the West anyways, they should be in that 4 or 5 team tier that is like, yeah, I could see this team going to the Cup Finals.
Yeah, also they're starting, they're not like a really old team, but like they're starting to get there where their good players are going to be at the end of their primes. So they should be starting to put the pedal to the floor.
Yeah, right. So yeah, like, I don't know. I understood the Duchesne signing for them.
Yeah.
Like I thought it was fair enough. I think they overpaid. I think if a team like Ottawa overpaid, it wouldn't have made any sense, but for Nashville, at least I can see it because it does help them now.
Yeah, it was a classic, we're going all in.
Having Ryan Johansson as your second line center instead of your first line center means it was worth it.
Yeah, it's very helpful.
So, yeah, I don't know. I think this team is going to be very good. I think this is one of the teams that should compete for top of the division. If they came first, it wouldn't shock me at all.
Not at all.
Yeah, I think there's two very clear top teams here, and we'll get to the other one now. St. Louis Blues. This is another team. For some, I feel like people are sleeping on this team.
Yeah, for the team that just won the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, like I've heard a couple podcasts say, "Would you be surprised if this team missed the playoffs?" Yes, I would be surprised if this team missed the playoffs.
I'd be very surprised.
Are you kidding me? It's the same team that came back from last year. I get they didn't start well last year, but it's because they just had horrible luck. So, yeah, I guess like the only argument is maybe Jordan Binnington can't play a full year as a starter, and he absolutely shits the bed, but. I don't think that's likely. I think that even if I don't think he's going to be what he was last year. Obviously.
No.
But like if he's the 23rd best starter in the league, this team makes playoffs.
Yeah.
They might not be first. Like I think if that's the case, Nashville probably passes them.
Yes.
But,
agreed.
But like this team's just got so much talent that I don't like where's the drop off coming from? I just don't understand. They lost was Patrick Maroon in the offseason.
Yeah,
like I don't like Patrick Maroon as a depth guy, but I'm like that's not going to be the difference between playoffs.
No, he's not a make or break.
Like you have your top line: Schwartz, Shen, Tarasenko. Love it, like especially from the wings. I love those two wings. Sanford on your second line. I don't think Sanford's going to be the second line winger.
I doubt it.
But then Ryan O'Reilly, David Perron. I think they'll probably get someone like is Jordan Kyrou a left wing?
Thomas might play that wing.
Yeah, like Thomas could play as off wing, I guess. You know, Sanford, or even Steen on the second line is better than Sanford. I don't know why they have, but like...
Agreed. But whoever plays with Ryan O'Reilly on that second line will get results.
Yes, exactly.
If O'Reilly doesn't play on the first line.
Bozak, Thomas, Steen is their third line right now, and then Fabry, Barbashev, Sundqvist is their fourth line.
I hope Fabry has a good year.
Me too. He was such a promising player, and he just